CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Defense Industrial Base, DIB. I welcome Bradley Bowman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, writing most recently with his colleague Richard Goldberg of the need for a DIB in the U.S. and in Israel. Brad, a very good day to you. I read a headline that is exactly where your essay with Richard Goldberg starts and ends. This is a headline within these last hours, Jerusalem Post. Israel looking for alternative weapons supplies amid U.S. criticism. An Israeli official claimed that Israel's main anchor is the U.S., but tensions are currently high regarding entry into Rafah, which will likely affect security assistance. And it goes on to apply to the Rafah situation on the ground in Hamas. However, your essay is comprehensive with Richard Goldberg about the need for the DIB to be developed simultaneously abroad and at home. What is the DIB? It seems to be a term of art. How is it understood? Good evening to you, Brad.
Good evening to you, John, and thanks for the opportunity to talk about this research memo that I wrote with my colleague Rich Goldberg, as you highlighted. You know, after October 7th, the United States provided Israel an extraordinary number and variety of weapons. And simultaneously, we've seen an escalating political pressure on Israel. And that has raised concerns among Israelis and pro-Israel Americans that at some point in the short to medium term, the United States could deprive Israel of some of the weapons it needs to defend itself. So a lot of Israelis are responding to those dynamics, kind of this dichotomy, if you will, of, wow, you know, we sent so many weapons, we are running out of cargo aircraft to send them, combined with the escalating political pressure and saying, holy cow, we, Israel, need to be more sufficient and self-sufficient in our defense industrial base, which is just a fancy term for your ability to build the weapons you need domestically. And in this memo, we recommend that Israel reduce its reliance on the United States for obvious reasons. But the reality is, the sobering reality that we're really encouraging our friends in Israel to consider, is there is no scenario anytime soon where Israel will be able to become self-sufficient. It lacks the means to do that. Can't afford that. And if they try to do it, they'll waste valuable money and I think make themselves less safe. So we're recommending in this memo, John, a hybrid approach where they focus on stockpiling, getting from wherever they can, including the United States and maybe elsewhere, the weapons they need, particularly air-launched munitions, while focusing targeted investments in Israel's defense industrial base to, over time, and this will take longer than many realize, to reduce their reliance on the United States. That's kind of the big picture recommendation that we're exploring in this memo.
But you're not looking at building the new F-35, if I understand it. You're looking at the weapons and the ammunition that is likely to be called upon in incredible military operations, not long term. Is that correct?
Exactly right. We're recommending that Israel focus on creating or expanding domestic production capacity in Israel, particularly for things like, as I said, air launch and ground launch offensive strike capabilities, JDAM, Joint Direct Attack Munitions, small diameter bombs. There's these munitions called SPICE munitions, equivalent capabilities, 155 millimeter howitzer shells, 120 tank shells. Why those? Because those are the things that are most likely to get cut off from the United States for political reasons. So you focus, if you're Israel, on the things you're most likely to be deprived of that you know you're going to need. And I just listed what those are. What should they not do, in my opinion, and Rich's opinion? They should not try to build a domestic defense industrial base production capacity for big platforms. Think F-35s, things like that. Israel will not be able to do that anytime soon because they don't have the defense spending, they don't have the industrial base, they don't have the access to resources, they don't have the workforce to do that. They should continue to use their foreign military financing from the United States to buy those big aircraft, ships, submarine things from us and Germany. And if they have domestic and production capacity already in some of the areas like the Merkava tanks, the Namer armored personnel carriers, and others, they should maintain that. But they should not try to build massive production capacity for platforms. They should instead focus their finite resources on things like the munitions that I've discussed.
Is there an advantage or disadvantage to interoperability, Brad?
a huge advantage. And that's a central premise of what I've argued for years, is that, and that's the one of the big ideas behind the U.S.-Israel Operations Technology Working Group, something I started pushing for in 2019, when two allied militaries can work on developing weapons systems together, then they can pool their innovation. Americans can benefit from Israeli agility. Israelis can benefit from Americans' economy of scale. And then once you fill those same systems, you're going to be able to operate more effectively together. You're going to be more capable independently. And that's going to increase deterrence against our common adversaries.
And the marketplace. I read in your paper that it should not be ignored. What does that mean for Israel? Are they going to be at the air shows along with the U.S. and France?
So Israel is a technology superpower. They are not an industrial superpower. And some argue, including me, they never will be. Okay. And so if you're going to make a major investment in the Israel's defense industrial base, then you're going to need to eventually export those systems. Why? Because the Israel Defense Force will not have the same demand over the long term. They're going to buy what they need in the beginning after they've created this production capacity. And then the demand from the Ministry of Defense will drop off. And so if those factories don't have customers, then the factories themselves, the workforce, will wither away, and then it won't be there in the future when the IDF demand returns. So how do you mitigate those troughs in demand? You mitigate them the same way the U.S. defense industrial base does, with exports. So right now, Israel is exporting a lot. I say stop focusing on exports right now and focus on stockpiling. But as you build this new industrial capacity, you have to maintain constant demand to ensure that those factories remain in place so that they're there in the future when the IDF demand returns.
And the defense industrial base in the U.S., does it respond in the same fashion to your remarks? I see Congress very careful about spending money these days.
John, you know, you and I have talked about how the arsenal of democracy that students of history like you and me know that was there in World War II is long gone and is quite anemic. There have been efforts, particularly since February 24th, 2022, when Putin invaded Ukraine, to try to heal our arsenal democracy. And we've had a lot of improvements since then. But in the context of Israel, a lot of people are viewing this kind of as an either or. Hey, either we invest and do things to focus on the Israeli defense industrial base, or we do things to focus on the American defense industrial base. One of the major arguments in our memo is that that is a false choice. And there's two reasons for that. One is that Israelis need to understand that in a major war with Hezbollah, Hezbollah is going to be targeting a lot of things, including the factories, of course, where Israel's making the weapons to defend itself. So if you have Israeli production facilities for, I don't know, the Iron Dome interceptor being blown up or degraded or destroyed, if you're Israeli, you're going to be very happy to have some redundant capacity in the United States. That redundant capacity exists in some areas, but not nearly enough. So that's one reason why, solely from an Israeli perspective, you want some redundant capacity in the United States. The other, quickly, is that as we saw in the war with Gaza, Israel had to activate a lot of reservists. A lot of those reservists work in those production factories, and more of them would work in an expanded defense industrial base. And if you have a war with Hezbollah, you're going to have to call up more reservists, potentially for longer. And that's going to reduce or slow the production of weapons Israel will need. So once again, you would want some redundant industrial capacity in the United States to make sure that Israel has what it needs in a moment of need to defend itself against a threat, Hezbollah, that would be far more challenging than what Israel's confronted in Gaza against Hamas.
Brad Bowman is a fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, writing with his colleague Richard Goldberg. I'm John Bell.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,